Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Israel Unplugged. This is Josh Wander, and I'm here with my co-host, Rabbi Moshe Lichtman. This is an amazing time of period we're living in. This is the show that brings you the unadulterated facts of where we're holding in the redemptive process. We're focusing primarily on the ingathering of the exiles. There's no spin, no twist, just facts on the ground. We're here today with a number of interesting and exciting stuff. The first thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be presenting you a debut song, a song which is going to be a hit in the Jewish world. It is called the Aliyah Song, and we're going to speak about it in our first segment, and we're going to play it for you. It's very exciting. It just debuted yesterday. You're going to be of the first people to hear that song. After that, we're going to have in the second segment, Rabbi Lichtman give a Dvar Torah, speak about the Torah portion this week and how it connects to Eretz Yisrael. And we're going to see, we're going to have a conversation also in the third portion. We may also have a guest. But meanwhile, I want everybody to go over to our website, which is IsraelTorah.org, IsraelTorah.org. There we have videos, we have a live stream, we have podcasts, we have this show, we have blogs, we have lots and lots of information about living in the land of Israel today, the commandment, the mitzvah that to live in the land of Israel today, all about everything you need to know about Aliyah. You know, go to that site and you'll find it all. Make sure when you go to our YouTube site, which, by the way, is at youtube.com/IsraelTorah, you also make sure to subscribe and click the bell to get notifications when we come up with new video materials. Now, the next thing I want to tell you is another site, which is the site of Rabbi Lichtman, which is toratzion.com, T-O-R-A-T.com.
Zion.com.
Exactly. And that's where you can find all of his books that he's written and all the materials that he's put out. He's put out many books on the subject of Eretz Yisrael, and you definitely don't want to miss that. So please go over and visit his site as well. We look forward. This is a live show, so you can call in. Make sure our numbers are on the site. So call into those numbers, ask your questions. Anything to do with Israel is here. We see you soon.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Israel Unplugged. This is Josh Wander. I'm here with my co-host, Rabbi Moshe Lichtman. And as I mentioned earlier, we have a special treat for you. And that treat is a song that just debuted yesterday. It's called the Aliyah Song. It is composed and it's performed by Rabbi Ben Sion Klatsko. The musical arrangement was done by Yisrael Ament. And also, we commissioned it in bringingthemhome.org.il. As well as Yaffe Dickman, we're all involved in the creation of this song. This song is hopefully going to create so much buzz around the world that it's going to encourage Jews. We've already heard in the 24 hours since it's been out, we've already heard great reports, people that have seen it and it has turned them on. There was one group that Rabbi Ben Sion speaks about, how he played it for them and they said, where can we sign up? I mean, it's very, very inspirational. And we want to play it for you today because we feel that even though you're not going to be able to see the actual video for that, you'll have to go to IsraelTorah.org and be able to look at the actual video. But we or you can go to YouTube.com/IsraelTorah and watch the actual video. But just the music alone, it's worth listening to. It's about a 5-minute song, and we are looking forward to playing it for you shortly.
Yes, I'll just want to make one comment. You know, the rabbis tell us that Ein Nachtom Me'id Al Isato, right? A baker can't testify about his own bread. So, you know, you can't really trust Josh for to tell you how good the song is because he's the one who commissioned it. Well, I yesterday had the privilege of hearing the song pre-release, and I must tell you, I was very moved by it. It is a very beautiful song, very catchy tune, but more importantly, the message and the words behind it. And as Josh pointed out, the video especially is very beautiful. So right now you'll hear the song, but make sure to go to the website and see the video that goes along with the song when you have a free moment. Okay, so let's hear it.
Now, as an introduction, let me just say that there's a short introduction to it, and I'll just read it off to you, and then we can start the song. We are living in extremely scary and unprecedented times. Corona, financial instability, anti-Semitism, and civil unrest. The signs are clearly written on the wall for all to see that it is time for the Jewish people to return home. As was the case with every exile in history, its time will come to a close, and this one is no different. We hope and pray that our people make the move while they can do so freely and comfortably, and that their transition to their new and everlasting home will be rooted in the fundamentals of what it means to live in our homeland and fulfill our national destiny. May this help bring some inspiration to all of those who hear it and to help them take the next step to Aliyah. Let's hit it. Enjoyed that song as much as we did. That was amazing. I just wanted to give you a little bit of background about the song, how it was created, why we commissioned it. We decided that we needed an anthem. We needed an Aliyah anthem, something to motivate, to inspire people to come and not only visit the land of Israel, but to live in the land of Israel. And we looked high and far for such a song, and we found all sorts of other songs that were already created dealing with the land of Israel, talking about different aspects of it and its greatness, but nothing that really went directly to the point, which is that the Jews have to come back home and they should come back home now. And that's why we commissioned this song. Mrs. Yaffe Dickman and I contacted Rabbi Klatsko. And we said, you know, we want this song to be created. And Rabbi Klatsko, you should know, lives in Muncie, New York. So he was a little bit hesitant at first because he's, as anyone who's living outside the land, it's a little bit difficult. But his heart is definitely here. He has children here. His house is on the market. Hopefully he'll be here soon. And you know what? Even though he's going to take a lot of flack for it, he believes in it 100% wholeheartedly. And he felt it was the right thing to do. And it's a little bit strong for some people. I don't know if you felt that way, but please write in the comments what you thought about the song. But it's a little bit strong because it's saying it as it is. You know, just like our show here, we're meant to say it like it is. And that's what we're doing. We're not trying to disguise anything. We're not trying to cover anything up. The Jewish people are meant to be back in their home here in the land of Israel. Anyone who can should pick up and move here immediately. And that's what the song is trying to inspire people to do. And hopefully it will create that buzz necessary to not only inspire people to the music, but also bring people over to the website, which it's sponsored by, bringthemhome.org.il. And again, that's the website that has, we'll post that all in the comments, that those websites have all the information you need to inspire you. We also posted in the comments, by the way, the YouTube link, directly YouTube link to the Aliyah song. So you're welcome to see it, not only hear it, but see it, which is it's a million times better when you see it. And you are encouraged to send it on to your friends and to your family and to others, because it is something which I think is going to be revolutionary. So we're looking forward to hearing your comments about this. Again, if you want to call into the show, all the numbers are out there. You should call in, and you are live. You can ask questions to Rabbi Lichtman or myself. And in the next segment, we're going to be dealing with a Dvar Torah, with a weekly portion of Akev, the Torah portion, which is full to the brim of Eretz Yisrael, of the land of Israel aspects. And Rabbi Lichtman is going to share some of those with us shortly. Stay tuned for the Torah portion.
Yes, we will see you very shortly.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back, and this is Israel Unplugged. And this is the segment where we're going to discuss the weekly portion, Torah portion of Akev with Rabbi Moshe Lichtman.
Okay. Thank you very much. I just wanted to just make one comment about the song. So Josh pointed out that the writer and the singer of the song actually doesn't live here yet. And, you know, there might be some people out there who will say, you know, how could he write such a song? You know, he's a hypocrite. So it reminded me about when I left Israel for the first time after my first year in Israel, and I went to college, Yeshiva University. So I put up a big flag, and I talked only about Israel all the time. And a lot of people said to me, yeah, a lot of people talk about it, and, you know, they don't end up making Aliyah. And I said that once you commit yourself to such a degree that you only talk about that and you tell everybody that you're going to make Aliyah, that itself will push you to make Aliyah. because you'll be so embarrassed not to, because everyone's going to remember, oh, yeah, he talked about it all the time, and look, he didn't make it. So, you know, to a certain degree, it's a good thing, even if you're not yet ready to actually pick up and move, but to start the conversation, start talking about it. There are many people who I know, you know, read my book, my Parsha book, on a weekly basis in America in order to get their children and get themselves ready for the eventual move. It's not the kind of thing that happens overnight. So it's something you have to prepare for, and you have to talk about it, and you have to commit yourself to. So as an example, this week's Parsha has so much about Eretz Yisrael. It talks about the seven special fruits of Eretz Yisrael. It talks about so many aspects. But I want to focus on the second Parsha that we read in Kriyat Shema, right? Every day we say the Shema, which we read last week, the first paragraph. And the second paragraph is in this week's Parsha, V'hayayim Shamoa. So in the middle of that Parsha, in the middle of that paragraph, we say that God tells us that, you know, you better make sure not to serve other gods, because if you serve other gods, God will get angry at you and he will exile you from the land, the good land that he has given you. And then for some strange reason, immediately after that, the Torah talks about things that seemingly are not connected. It talks about tefillin, about teaching Torah, about the mitzvah of affixing a mezuzah to the doorposts. Why are these things mentioned immediately after the threat of exile? So the rabbis tell us that the reason it's there is because God wants us to know that the reason that we keep mitzvot, the reason why we fulfill the commandments of God outside the land of Israel, that's not really where it's meant to be kept. God intended us to keep all of his 613 commandments in the land of Israel, as we read many, many times explicitly in the parasha last week. But he knows that there is a possibility that the Jewish people are going to sin and therefore are going to have to be exiled. And then the Jewish people will think, oh, okay, if we're exiled, so we don't have to keep any commandments anymore, because the main fulfillment of the commandments is in the land of Israel. If we're not in the land of Israel, why should we keep the commandments? And that's why the Torah tells us, no, you still have to keep the commandments. Even when we go into exile, you have to keep the commandments. But then the Midrash tells us why. Why do we still have to keep the commandments? So that we don't forget how to do them when we come back to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, really, a Jew has to keep all of God's commandments anywhere in the world, or at least there are many commandments which cannot be fulfilled outside the land of Israel. But even those commandments which can be fulfilled outside the land of Israel, like tefillin, which is mentioned right after this pasuk that we're talking about, and like mezuzah, affixing the mezuzah to the doorposts, those kind of mitzvot, yes, we're going to keep them even when we're in exile, but we are only keeping them so we do not forget how to do them when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, because that's where the mitzvot are meant to be kept. So you could talk about so many different reasons why a Jew should make aliyah, but when it really comes down to it, the most important reason, in my humble opinion, is because this is where we can serve Hashem, serve God, the way he intended it to be done. He told us that he wants us to keep his mitzvot in his special land. And if we have an opportunity to come back to the land of Israel, you know, for 2,000 years, it was a very nice concept, but there was nothing really we could do about it because we were in exile. We couldn't fulfill, we couldn't even get to Eretz Yisrael even if we wanted to. But now that we're living at a time where the land of Israel is open, its doors are open for all Jews to come home once again, there's many reasons why we should come. But the most important one is because we should want to fulfill God's commandments the way they were originally intended to be fulfilled. And that is in God's special land. So Josh, so
half of the Jews, as we unfortunately, half of the Jews are still outside of the land of Israel. And some of those, many of those Jews are very religious. They fulfill all the commandments that they're able to fulfill. Not only are they fulfilling the commandments, but they fulfill the commandments in a very special, very acute way that they want to make sure that they're doing that meticulous way. They're doing it in the highest level. They want to make sure that everything is done in the perfect way. And you wonder to yourself, those of us that are living here in the land of Israel, when you know that a third of the commandments of the 613 commandments in the Torah can only be accomplished here in the land of Israel, how is it possible that people that are, like you said, that are so meticulous about how they fulfill the commandments would not find it a no-brainer that they should be here?
So there's a funny joke that people say. It's funny, but it's sad at the same time. Too bad that living in Israel is not a chumrah, is not a stringency. Because if it was a stringency, then many more people would want to do it. That's what you're referring to. There are many Jews who have this syndrome of, I want to take upon myself every possible stringency that I can within the mitzvot that I keep. I'll wear Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, for example, right? I'm not going to go through the whole issue, but, there are some people who put on a second pair of tefillin in the morning because there's an opinion that says that it should be written in a different way. So they put on those also, and they'll do all these chumras, all these stringencies, but that which is written explicitly in the Torah hundreds of times, that God wants us to be in his land, that for some reason, they don't do. And I mean, I can explain to you why I think many of the reasons. One of them is because we were 2,000 years without the land of Israel, or close to 2,000 years without the land of Israel. And the Jewish people, developed, I would say, an exile mentality that, we can live without Eretz Israel. We can live without the land of Israel. We're doing okay. It's not great, not perfect, but, hopefully one day we'll get back there. But, we're still good Jews, and that's true. But that's only true when it's not possible to be in the land of Israel, when it's possible to return once again to the land of Israel, and we nonetheless decide to stay outside the land. So we're really basically saying, I'm okay. I just want to practice the mitzvot. I want to practice the commandments. I don't want to do the real thing. I don't want to go and live in Israel where the commandments were meant to be kept, and that the real thing is not just practice. I always give a parable. If you're on a basketball team, right, and you go to every practice religiously, you make sure you're there every single time there's a practice, and then all of a sudden the big game, the night of the big game comes up, and you don't show up, and your coach calls you and says, "Where are you?" And you say, "It's okay, I come to the practices." Well, that's ridiculous. You practice in order to play in the big game, right? So here also, we've been practicing for 1900 years to remember how to do the mitzvot, the commandments, when we get back to Israel. Well, finally, we're back. We have the opportunity to be back. So why would anybody want to continue practicing when they could do the real thing?
Absolutely. And I think that part of it is not understanding the reality in which we live. I speak about it all the time, that many people think that Israel is a nice place to go on vacation. Perhaps it's some sort of fairy tale to some people. But actual living there, they're so stuck in what you have mentioned as an exile mentality, that they don't understand that what we're taught, what the whole Torah is revolving around and is based around, is the fact that the Jews are supposed to become a nation in the land of Israel. And that's how they're supposed to be an Or LeGoyim. That's how they're supposed to be a light into the nations, because from here will emanate the Torah, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah, to the rest of the world. It's not supposed to be the opposite. I think in the next segment, we should discuss this further. We should go into detail. We could discuss this whole idea of how the Jews that are still in this exile mode are looking at Israel from outside, and how we that are fortunate enough to be in merit to live in the land of Israel today, that we're looking at them and we're asking them the question, what are you doing? Why are you still there? And that's not even to mention all the craziness that's going on today. In general, for the past 70 years, we've had this opportunity where the doors have been open. Unfortunately, right now, the doors are closing, and this might be the last chance for many Jews to return home. Please stay with us for the next segment.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back. In the last segment, we were discussing the concept of Jews that are in exile mode, Jews that are still living in out in the diaspora. My friend Yishai Fleischer is always fond of saying that Jews that are living outside the land of Israel are actually not in exile. They're in the diaspora. And why does he say that? He says that to be in exile, you have to be exiled. Somebody has to throw you out. No one's been thrown out. All the Jews are welcome to come back to the land. So they're actually not in exile. They're in the diaspora. They've chosen to live there. That's something that we pray. We say on every holiday we have in our additional Musaf prayers. We say, "Ibnei chataenu galinu me'atzenu." It's because of our sins that we're exiled from our land. "V'nisrechaknu alad nosenu," and we would distance ourselves from this place, from the Holy Land. And the difference between that, it said, is because when it says, because of our sins, we were exiled, we were forced into exile. It wasn't by choice. We were forced into exile. There were a number of exiles that the Jewish people had no choice. They were thrown out of the land. But the second half is that we distanced ourselves from the land. That is by choice. We chose to distance ourselves from the land. Even when we could come back, we chose not to come back. And that is very unfortunately the case in many cases today around the world. There are Jews that are living in very orthodox, very religious, observant communities, and they're lacking the fundamentals. I think this is a perfect conversation to have during this period of time. We just finished Tisha B'Av. We're on our way to Tu B'Av. And during this period, we remember the destruction of our two temples, the story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the story of how the wise people of Yavne were saved, and this saved the Torah. This brought us, on one hand, it saved us. It was a rescue of the Jewish people and its and their Torah. On the other hand, it brought us a step into the exile mode, and that led into thousands of years of being in exile. And it was only in our past generation that we merited to see the return of this exile.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on something that you said at the end of the last segment. You said about the fact that there are so many Jews that are living outside the land, almost half the Jewish people, more than half the Jewish people, and that there's a certain feeling that those who are living in Israel feel a certain animosity towards those Jews who are living outside, not personally, of course, but, you know, we so desperately and so badly want the redemption and want things to be better here. But in order for that to happen, we need the rest of the Jewish people to come and make things better. And for God to see that the Jewish people as a whole are back in Israel, and therefore to send us, bring us the ultimate redemption. So it reminds me, you know, on the one hand, it sounds like it's a pretty selfish thing. You know, we're angry at other Jews. We have an animosity towards other Jews because of their choices. You know, who are we? Should we really be saying those kind of things? But it reminds me of a Gemara, of a Talmudic passage. That's in Tractate Yoma, page 9b, if I'm not mistaken. It tells a story about Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabba, the son of Bar Chana, who was swimming in the Jordan River, and he put his hand out to Reish Lakish, another one of the great Amoraim, to help him out of the water. And Reish Lakish refused to give him his hand. And he said, why? Why am I refusing? Because you Babylonians, you are the cause of this destruction of the Second Temple. See, Rabba Bar Bar Chana was from a Babylonian background, and Reish Lakish seemingly was not. He grew up and lived in Israel for much longer. And he had this animosity towards Rabba Bar Bar Chana for his ancestors, for the fact that the Babylonian Jews did not come back to Israel. And when Ezra and Nehemiah came back and rebuilt the Second Temple, you know, we're just reliving history. This has happened before. There's been times before where Jews, God gave us the opportunity to come back to the land of Israel. And not only that, but we actually even built a temple. And there were still millions of Jews who remained in the diaspora. I once read in an article by Rabbi Shalom Gold, who said that, the historians say that at the height of Jewish settlement in the Second Temple period, there were maybe 2 million Jews in Israel out of a population of Jewry of 7 million, meaning it was a minority of the Jewish people that came back to Israel. The majority remained in exile. And Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Bar Chana, that's why the temple didn't last. That's why it was eventually destroyed, because Jews didn't take the opportunity to come back. And, you know, unfortunately, we see the same thing happening. And that's why we Jews who live in Israel, we don't have anything personal. We don't think we're better than Jews outside the land of Israel. We just want you to realize that we need you. We need you to come back so that things can get better for all the Jewish people throughout the world, and especially in the land of Israel.
I don't think I would use the word animosity. Of course, in that Gemara, there was a feeling of animosity. But I think it's mistakenly perceived by many Jews that we're on our high pedestal and we're preaching to the Jews abroad how they should be here, and we don't understand how difficult it is. First of all, many of us have been in their shoes, and we have lived through it. And we had to go through all the trials and tribunals in order to get here and to make it happen. And it's not easy for anyone. On that having been said, it's well worth it. Everybody understands that it's well worth coming here. And at this point in history, I would say that the feeling that I have is much less animosity and much more concern. My family, my friends, my brothers and sisters that are not in the country, I'm truly concerned for their welfare. I believe that the safest place in the world is here in Eretz Israel. In fact, I once heard a mashal that was given, I believe it's from the Midrash, that says that in the end of days, the world is going to, the Eretz Israel is going to be a huge hurricane. And everybody's going to look from the outside towards Eretz Israel, and they're going to see this tornado, this hurricane spinning around Eretz Israel. They're going to say that is the most dangerous place in the world to be, is by that hurricane. But who in the eye of the storm, in the calm of the eye, inside, in the middle, where the Jews are in Eretz Israel, it's going to be completely calm. No, we're not going to feel anything. It's going to, and I've actually experienced this over and over again here in the land. I was here during the first Gulf War. I remember I actually was in the United States when the first Scud came over from Saddam Hussein. I believe it was on Thursday night. And I was watching on CNN as the Scud came up, and everybody was, you know, the this is the end of Israel, right? We're going to be wiped out by the Arab forces. And then I got on the first plane back, Baruch Hashem, that's Motzei Shabbat, that Saturday night, I got on a plane, I flew back to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm walking through the streets, and I'm like, this doesn't feel anything like what I felt like when I was there watching CNN. Everything is very calm here. Some people had gas masks, you know, we had our sealed rooms, but things more or less were, especially here in Jerusalem, were very calm and relaxed. So I felt it firsthand. I felt this idea of people from the outside looking at us and saying this is the most dangerous place, and people here understanding this is the safest place to be.
Yes, 100%. You know, I was in the States also for the Gulf War. I did not have the privilege of coming in the middle, but I did make Aliyah the year after. And the same thing, you know, you just see it's something about being here that you just have more faith in God, faith in that everything is going to be okay, and, you know, everything's in God's hands. And even if it's not going to be okay, but that's what God wants. And, you know, we're in God's hands, and you don't have that feeling when you're outside the land, when you're in this foreign atmosphere. 100%, I agree.
It's sort of like the Jews the Orthodox Jews in America that try to explain to non-Orthodox or non-Jews the concept of living a life of observance, of not only being observant when one goes into their synagogue, their temple, their church, their whatever, their mosque, whenever they're their religious life doesn't revolve around a prayer service on a Saturday or on a Sunday, but their whole entire lives revolves around the halachic process, the Jewish law. And it's the same thing. It's something that you feel when you're here, like you said, in Eretz Yisrael, that everything revolves around, of course, you could be Orthodox, you could be observant in outside of the land, you could be in America, but you're still going to go to a mall around December time, and you're going to hear Christmas music because that's what it is. And your calendar is going to revolve around non-Jewish holidays because you're in a non-Jewish Gentile environment. And here, everything, even if you're completely secular here, there is no way that you can get away from understanding the concepts of Shabbat, of understanding the concepts of the holidays. The calendar revolves, everything revolves around Jewish life here. So even if you're completely secular, you're connected to, and that's what it says. It says that somebody who lives outside of the land, it's as if they don't have a God. The Talmud Correct. Says that because that's exactly what it is. When you're living in Gentile lands, you really do not have that same feeling that you have here in the land of Israel.
Right. They even say it a little differently. They say that anybody who lives outside the land of Israel is serving God. You're serving God bituma, I think it says. In other words, there is a service of God, but it's not the same. It's not the same as serving God that's what it says. I'm sorry. If they're doing avodah zarah b'tahara. Because they're still serving other gods, but it's b'tahara, meaning their intention is to serve God, but unbeknownst to them, their service of God is effective. Okay, so we're going to wrap up, and we'll see you next week. Please come and join us again next week.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.